Bring yourself back online.
Remember. We're back. Freeze All Motor Functions, a Westworld podcast that doesn't sound like anything to me and doesn't take itself too seriously. I am Jared Borislow, joined as always by Rick Balters.
I'm Ross Bolin, and I apologize for my co-host's behavior.
We're coming to you from Grand X Media headquarters in Austin, Texas, with our Thursday Analysis Mode episode, wherein we will be responding to a golden shower of listener voicemails from the cold line.
We are off to a piping hot start.
Some might say a steamy hot start.
Is that? I can hear it. You hear that? That's that listener count just plummeting again.
All right, let's trickle into the next thing.
God, because you can't stop making pee jokes.
Sorry. Well, I just peed.
Unbelievable.
I delayed the start of this.
There's just really something wrong with you in the head.
Listeners, if you're still here, thank you.
You're lacking cortical fluid.
I am. Well, I'm lacking a lot of fluids now. Thank you for listening.
Unbelievable.
For rating, reviewing, subscribing, doing everything that you do for us.
I'm so sorry.
Buying our t-shirt at grandxshop.com, the hottest t-shirt. We sold a good amount of t-shirts now. I can't wait to see one in the wild.
the hottest t-shirt. Yeah. No, me too. I'm excited too. One day we will see somebody wearing this. Hopefully not a homeless person. Not that there's anything wrong with the homeless and that we would refuse them as fans. That's just not what you want.
What?
You know, the homeless typically get their t-shirts for free, which would mean someone has disposed of it. And now a homeless person's wearing it.
I would be totally fine with a homeless person wearing our t-shirt, Ross.
So would I. It's just that's not, you know, the ideal situation. That's all I'm saying.
You're just digging yourself into a deeper hole. You're digging yourself into a deeper hole than me with the pee thing.
Famp is totally cool with the homeless. Just like California.
There we go. All right, guys. We're going to jump right into this. Start doing these voicemails. And here's the first one.
Hey, Jared. Hey, Ross. Intern Serena here. Okay, so this week I don't have a theory so much as a question for you guys. This episode, the flies are back, and Dolores talks about them transmitting blue tongue to the cows, and a few things stood out to me about that. So we know from season one that the flies are the only non-host part in Westworld, so that means that cows, host cows, are susceptible to communicable diseases from human entities. We know that Maeve got MRSA from not being properly cleaned, but this is the first time we've seen a disease passed from a non-host to a host directly. Also, we see flies swarming the cow in the barn when Dolores goes all psycho on Teddy, but the only other time we've seen that is the bugs that were around Ford's body in the first episode of the season. So I think it's interesting that they're seemingly attracted to real and artificial flesh. Maybe it's showing just how close to human the hosts are. I know the flies are significant somehow because they've come up enough times, but I'm not sure how, and I wondered what you guys thought. Also, just a quick note about Dolores. She said that blue tongue was being passed through the flies. Then she said that the cows, or they burn the cows because flies hate smoke, so the smoke drove them off. If the disease wasn't being transmitted through the cows, she didn't have to burn those cows to save the herd. If all they needed was smoke to ward off the flies, they could have burned, like, literally anything else, right? Just wondering. Okay, that's it. Thanks, guys.
What?
Okay, so I actually had a conversation. By the way, thank you, Andrew Trina, for the call, and thank you for all the awesome Westworld theme Photoshop.
She uses too many big words. I don't know what a lot of that meant.
Yeah, Ross during that call was making a lot of very quizzical faces.
Yeah.
So I actually had a DM conversation with another listener this week, and he brought up a great point. I was like talking about how I don't think the flies are going to be any sort of big deal, more so than they already have been, because changing up the flies now, if there's a way they could change it up to where it would totally screw over the pilot. The pilot is one of the best episodes of this series, and if they changed up the flies too much, then it would ruin the big reveal at the end, you know? The flies can't be hosts, so we know that much. That was a theory somebody tossed around. The flies aren't hosts. The flies are living, and I think they might come into play later, but this listener brought up a phenomenal point. This whole blue tongue thing most likely never fucking happened. This is probably part of Dolores' backstory that is programmed into her that she remembers, but that never actually happened in the park. Meaning that deriving any sort of meaning for, like, you know, what the flies mean from that story alone is probably a fool's errand. because it most likely never happened, and it's just something programmed into Dolores to give her, you know, fodder for this whole Teddy thing.
I once read the book Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. It's about that island with the fat kid, right?
One of my yes, there's a fat kid. One of my favorite episodes of Breaking Bad was titled Fly.
That's everybody's least favorite episode of Breaking Bad.
Well, clearly not everybody, because I'm somebody and it's one of my favorites.
So whenever I talk about Breaking Bad, I always say, yeah, I watched one episode and I wasn't really gripped. And everybody goes, oh man, it was probably the Fly episode you watched. Man, that episode sucked. Just give it another shot.
Yeah, it's just people who don't get art, you know? They're just culturally unsound, uncultured swine is what we call those people.
So
people
as far as the whole Fly, as far as the whole Fly thing goes, not Breaking Bad, with Westworld, you feel free to look into it as much as you want. I'm led to believe that there's no real more to the whole Blue Tongue thing than just it being Dolores' backstory and it being kind of like reasoning in Dolores' head for why she does to Teddy what she does. I do agree. They didn't have to burn the cows. You don't got to burn the cows. You could burn wood. You could burn hay. You could burn maybe an old dresser made of wood. You don't got to burn the cows alive.
Burn, baby, burn. Disco Inferno. People have also said that I am pretty fly for a white guy.
I've heard that.
A lot of people have said that.
Next call.
Hey, Ross, Jared. This is Ray from Jersey. So I was just thinking, what happens when Maeve either doesn't find her daughter at all or does, and she's on a new narrative with a new family and a new mother, and Maeve doesn't want to take her away from a new mom because that wouldn't be the right thing to do in her mind. So I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. See you later.
I do not think that Maeve is going to come away from the interaction with her daughter in any sort of happy mindset.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot too, and I don't. It's kind of bugging me that this is still kind of the end of the rainbow for Maeve is to find her kid, because what, like, you know what I mean? The climax there when she finds her, I feel like no matter what, it's going to be underwhelming. We're all expecting it to not go well, right?
Yep.
But what could really happen?
She brings her daughter with her. That would surprise me.
But even that, like, what? There, it's not really her daughter.
It's
right?
Not really Dolores'
so
dad.
Not, there's not really any connection there.
We talked about this last time. You need to remember this, okay? If you right now think about all your feelings.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We're a robot. No, just stay with me here, because this is a massive.
I'll
like,
stay with you.
Rebuttal. Right now, if I told you were a robot and you like, how about this? What if I told you everybody else in the world right now was a robot? I'm a robot. Mike is a robot. And I said, you were a human. And we as robots believed that the only relationships that mattered were fake ones. And that was the case for this in this hypothesis.
Here's the problem. I'm not a robot. And my mom really did give birth to me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
why does that make your love for her more real than our program love in this scenario?
Because it literally is real.
In our robotic minds, this is me and Micah.
We don't have robotic minds.
In our robotic minds.
Look, my point is...
Same. It's about having that... It's not how you got the feeling.
I'm sick of
it's
this conversation about like, why are human feelings more important than robot feelings?
Exactly.
Because they're real. That's
but
why.
Reality...
What is real?
Reality
Fuck
is
Fuck
subjective.
You. That's real. Realist in the streets.
I get it.
I'm just saying... That it's hard for me to imagine a scenario where this Maeve and her daughter thing plays out in a way where I'm like, damn, that paid off. I'm having a hard time seeing it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to pay off, but it can still pay off. It's not going to pay off for Maeve.
Like, it's. I get that it's the driving force of Maeve's storyline right now, but it's kind of sucks. Doesn't it? Because it's like, think about it, dude. That's the thing she's going to do?
That's Dolores' storyline, too. They're both going after that.
And no, it's part of Dolores' much bigger storyline, though, and she's doing, like,
okay,
crazy
yeah.
shit to accomplish it, while Maeve is just, you know, hanging in pseudo-Japan.
Yeah, I get that. It's Maeve. So, yeah, what's Maeve's next move?
And what happens with this kid? She better be cool. You better pray that little actress has got it.
Yeah, she's got to really bring it. We got to have like a Leanna Mormont type deal.
Yeah, that's exactly what we need. Little badass.
Hey, this is Caleb from North Carolina, living in South Carolina, moving to Georgia. And I just wanted to call in with a few things. I'm going to rattle all this off in 30 seconds, start the clock now. So if you look at the tablet, when Dolores is fucking with Teddy, you see that she bumps his cruelty, self-preservation, decisiveness, loyalty, aggression, tenacity, courage, and bulk at perception all the way up. So we should be getting a mean, green, fucking fighting machine out of Teddy pretty soon. Also, I'm looking up the Wikipedia page for the Westworld movie, and in that movie, there are three worlds. There's Westworld, the Evil World, and Ancient Rome World. So I was wondering if you guys thought we would see any other things besides Stroking World in this season, or if they'll save that for later seasons. And the last thing is, I don't know who told you guys you were pronouncing Shogun correctly, but it's getting on my nerves. It's not goon like a goon squad. Just think G-N without the U. Shogun. Just go straight from the G into the N sound. Love what you guys do. Later.
Okay. See, you, sir, are pronouncing it the American way. We have been praised by a Japanese-speaking man for actually saying it correctly. So we're going to keep saying Shogun because that is the correct pronunciation of the word.
Kiss my white ass.
There we go.
Teddy the Terminator? Is that what we're looking forward to here?
It looks like
Terminator-style Teddy?
Very Wyatt.
I thought I only saw like one thing get bumped. All that shit got bumped?
All it got bumped. You can check the side-by-side.
Damn. That's gonna be rough on his little Teddy brand.
Yeah, he is super Wyatt. If Dolores is Wyatt, Teddy's extra Wyatt. Wyatt with extra fries.
Hopefully, it won't just be him dropping the same kind of lame ass lines with a little more menace on top. You know what I mean? Like, hopefully, it's like he says new stuff. I need Teddy to say new things.
Okay, I can't wait until the next episode. The next Is It Cheesy edition is gonna be Teddy killing a bunch of humans and saying, just trying to be chivalrous.
That better not happen.
If I call that right there.
Oh, that would be so unfortunate.
Can't you see that happening though?
What else? Yes, I can absolutely see that happening. What else did he bring up at the beginning of his call?
It was just the Teddy thing.
No, there was something else.
The Westworld movie, the Ancient Rome.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be incredible.
I would love Ancient Rome
World. A gladiator style world?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You can kill lions?
I'd go there. I'm down with that.
Well, aren't you a Christian? They would kill you in a second.
Yeah, but you can lie about that. I mean, you'd be punished, but you can lie about that.
Huh.
You got to do what you got to do when you're in, what do they call it? Rome World? What would that be called?
Yeah, Rome World. Coliseum World sounds kind of
okay,
cool.
Okay, here's the thing. What cool shit could you do there, right? I feel like every era, it's just like the hookers are a little different.
Go to the Circus Maximus and do a chariot race.
Right? Like, what is the big time appeal of that world versus pseudo Japan or versus Westworld or versus whatever the fuck
you can
the
go to
Man in Black's daughter came from. What was it? What is
Raj World?
Raj World.
You can go to a public bath in Rome World, get naked with a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can do that in, like at a truck stop. In reality, what is the appeal of Raj World? Did we decide on that?
It's
just the whole colonial feel to it and the caste system. It's for racists, right?
Yeah, it's if you want to go and have like Indian servants, or if you want to hunt Bengal tigers. You're either an asshole or you're a bigger asshole.
That is such a specific audience.
Those are in the
opposite
order.
To.
Yeah.
Right? Like, do you believe that Indian people are less than? Do you like hunting Bengal tigers? Come to Raj World. It's weird.
Maybe that's all part of the deal. Like, maybe, let's say after 5 years, they invite every guest who's ever been in the park back, and they just kill them all. They're like, you're all fucking assholes. They're dead.
Each park is based on which race you dislike the most. That's how you have to pick what park you're going to.
Yeah, it's like, do you dislike Native Americans? You're coming to Westworld.
Yeah, what's the one where you get to go murder the most white people?
I don't know if we've seen it yet.
Probably Rome World. I'm going to stop talking.
Next call.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jack from Wilmette here. So me and my friends, all big fans of the podcast, Motorheads as we call ourselves. And I'm calling because I think I came up with the perfect metaphor for watching TV and cinema in general. It's kind of like you are choosing a sandwich that you want to eat. I thought of this while I was eating my favorite sandwich. It's called a Nicky. It's at Chuck Wagon. Shout out Chuck Wagon. It's a double cheeseburger with Euro meat stacked on top, and it's fucking awesome, but it's super hard to eat. Like, shit's always, like, sliding out the side, and you get all messy and shit, but it's so rewarding because it's so fucking good. And that's kind of like watching Westworld. Like, I'm like, whoa, what the fuck is this happening right now?
He just got cut off.
See, he did, but it's weird because he was only at a minute 12 out of the 2 minute warning.
Well, Jared, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. That man was shockingly stoned.
Do you think so?
I do. That might have been him dropping his phone. It might have been him forgetting what he was doing in the first place and just hanging up. But nobody comes up with an analogy about sandwiches like that unless they've been partaking in marijuana. And I loved that. That was maybe the best call we ever got.
That was also only 50 seconds. He was way short of the limit.
Maybe his phone died.
No, that's actually a phenomenal metaphor.
That was great. That was really, really good. That's exactly how it feels watching this show. It's like, and I there's many foods. Like, one of my favorite burgers in Austin is like that. When you eat it, it gets all over you. It's going to ruin the clothes you're wearing, and you're going to look like a six-year-old child because there's going to be like sauces all over your face. But it's so good.
What's that sandwich?
It's the June's burger.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good. I've had that. Next call.
Or the June's chicken sandwich.
June's ham sandwich is good, too.
Ham sandwich.
Hey, guys. This is Madison from Fayetteville, Arkansas. I have just been doing some thinking about the whole storyline with Dolores, like, trying to find her father in the last episode. And I'm just kind of confused as far as, like, why she's doing that. Because it's, I mean, like, he's not actually her dad. Like, she's just programmed to, like, think that he's her dad and have all these memories with her. And since she's so, like, enlightened and sentient and all that, it just kind of doesn't make sense that she would, like, put everything on the line to go and find this guy who isn't actually her dad. See, in the same way, like, with Teddy, like, she's, like, programmed to love him, and I think she's kind of starting to realize that, like, she doesn't actually love him. That's just kind of something that's programmed in her. So, I don't know. I was wondering if you guys had any, like, thoughts on that or what you thought about her reasoning for that. Anyways, thanks, guys. Bye.
Oh, here we go again. Here we go again,
Jared. I'm just saying there are two sides to this story.
Are the robot emotions real?
You are... Remember, as I brought up a while back, the Father John Misty line bringing up the concept of your reality being realer than mine. There's no reality is subjective.
Yes, I agree.
In my head, you're fake. I could go kill you and it'd be no skin off my butt.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
That's like, hurtful.
Like, this is my world. You're just living in it.
Okay. I get it.
I could just rip your head off or like shove you in the baler at the warehouse next door and just smush you into a goddamn Ross pancake.
Oh, wow.
And I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care at all, but I don't do it because I need to keep the show going.
Okay. But what do we call people who, like this chick or me 20 minutes ago? What do we call those people? Like robotist? What? It's not racist. It's like not species. It's like if you don't believe that robot emotions are as real as human emotions, we need a name for you. Because you're something.
And if you have an idea for that name, call in to the cold line. 888-6-FREEZE.
Robot lives do matter, though. Just for the record.
Next call.
What up? It's your boy. Hey, Miyamoto Musashi once said that the harmony between strategy and skill could not be achieved by hastening a flower from a bulb. That those who do not use the right tools for the right job have already failed. In that case, call Crime Dog a hammer and consider this now. Hurt! If you want to get a dollar, then you better bring fistfuls. And if you're trying to cook a scheme, then you better scheme like Sanjuro. Can't strut like a play if your John's a Janko. Better off staring down the barrel of Django. Trying to trip, strutting like the man with no name. But if you ain't man outfitted, you're a man with no game. A man without style, only man that you can blame. Got a cup to cop the Xana Road. Man, that shit is just so flame. Stroke game Teddy, head game Bernard. Stun her with the presence of accoutrement, then bust it till she flood him from a valley beyond, and calling out glory like his Rashomon. Hurt! I don't know why they always get sexual. Anyway, shout out Kurosawa, shout out Man Outfitter, shout out intern Luke, you the MVP dog. Samurai movies are my shit. Konnichiwa, bitches. Crime Dog out. Hurt!
That was the Crime Dog.
That was DJ Crime Dog.
Back again.
He's got bars and a lot of free time. He's a good dude. Or he's a good canine, I should say.
I'm happy to have DJ Crime Dog on the FAMF network.
It really is the leading indicator that you have achieved success in the podcast realm.
Is having DJ Crime Dog call in weekly with raps and or last week's Charlotte Hale ballad.
That was pretty incredible too, I gotta admit. This is next level.
Follow him on Twitter at DJ Crime Dog, DAWG.
Yo, FAMP Nation. This is Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut. Calling in, I kind of just had a revelation about Dolores and Maeve. Isn't the whole entire point, like, the story arc they're going on, that they're angry at humans for, like, disposing and manipulating hosts at their pleasure? Aren't they doing the same thing now to hosts, essentially? I mean, they're not giving these hosts free agency. They're starting to manipulate them for their own benefit. So they're kind of becoming human. Like, if we can draw that parallel, I don't know. It's kind of insane. I was thinking about it while I was running. In, actually, my Freeze All Motor Functions t-shirt, which is amazing. I finally got it. So I was really excited. I went for a run. I listened to the pod again, and I just came up with this thought. Guys, buy the shirt. It's amazing. It's as soft as a baby. Maybe like baby skin, like host baby skin, you know. Sex, legit sex. Anyways, it's a great shirt. Let's get the dream one and tell me what you guys think about my thoughts. Bye, guys.
That's Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut. Back again. Here's the deal. He's right about the shirt, okay? The shirt's very comfortable. Many, many people are saying it's the best shirt they own.
Many people are saying this.
On both sides, both robot and human. So here's the deal. You can get that shirt, the official shirt of Freeze All Motor Functions, at Grandex Shop, Grandex Shop.com right now. Check it out. See if you like it. And here's the deal. Go check out twitter.com/freezeallmotor because I have been dropping our initial designs for the Data Rules Everything Around Me t-shirt.
I can't believe this is the second shirt we're making. Data rules everything around.
Many people are asking for it. The same people saying the Freeze All Motor Functions shirt is great are saying the dream shirt is very good.
This. If I ever see anybody in the dream shirt, the Data Rules Everything Around Me shirt, after it becomes available, which it is not yet, I will personally pay you the cost of that shirt out of my pocket.
Okay, that's a phenomenal deal. So all you need to do is find out Ross's daily schedule and buy the shirt, and then come to Austin and run into him wearing it. And he will pay for it for you. That's unbelievable.
I will give you the amount of money that it costs.
Now, does this include at Grand X events?
No.
So you're saying like next, like our South By event next year? Or
yeah, that doesn't count. It has to be like
in the wild,
on the street. Yeah.
Okay. You heard it here first. Check out the designs at Freeze All Motor on Twitter. They're still in the process of getting better.
This is the most obscure t-shirt ever. Data rules everything around me.
Dream.
Get the money.
Dollar bills, y'all. And then going off of the other stuff, Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut, said, very interesting. Because, yeah, Dolores and Maeve are all pissed about the humans programming them and, like, you know, not giving them the ability to fully live. And then they're doing that to a lot of hosts. Like with Teddy. Hey, I'm judging that you're not fit for the Valley Beyond.
Yeah, it's a little weird. What's that about? It's a very good point. And it's something that I'm assuming at some point will come into play on the show because it has to. It literally has to, or the whole plot is stupid.
One of the biggest unknowns is which hosts are meant to be in the Valley Beyond glory, to be equivalent to humans or whatever, and which ones aren't. I don't understand.
We also need a word for hosts who are judging other hosts as not being worthy of the Valley Beyond because it is wrong.
Yeah, that's inter-robot robotism.
Dolores is like the Hitler of the robot world at this point.
Yeah.
It's
She's
disturbing.
Cleansing them.
She is. It's fucked up. She's personally deciding who is good and who is not. Who is worthy of the Valley Beyond and who is not.
And Ross and I are partly saying that because we are not huge fans of Dolores. But if you are a fan of Dolores, you're okay with robot cleansing.
Yeah, it's disturbs me a great deal.
Huh. Buy the t-shirt, grandxshop.com. Next call.
Hi, this is Allison from Washington State. First off, Jared said Maeve and not Dolores. Second, on the question of whether or not Dolores and Maeve are still acting according to their programming, I think that they are both still acting according to their programming, and that's why Maeve did not take the Shogun army for her own zombie army, because Dolores is coded to be like Wyatt and to find a group of people and then kill them, and that's what she's been doing repeatedly over this season. But Maeve is more coded to be solo, and that's why she's keeping her group small with only the people that she needs at the base limit. So that's why they're doing what they're doing, and they are still both coded to do whatever their storylines say, but they have a little bit more wiggle room in the outcome of their storyline, but not necessarily in the execution. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so this is partly connected to the overall theory that Dolores is not totally free, that she's still acting on her programming
from someone,
from how she was originally programmed. So there's two ways you can look at Dolores right now. You can say she is totally free and every single thing she's doing has no relationship to how she was programmed. I think that's wrong. There's also the people who say Dolores is still under the control of her programmers. That is wrong. It is a combination of those two things. Hear me out, Ross. Your face looks very confused.
I am very confused.
In my opinion, and this is correct, this is what's happening. So all of the hosts, regardless of if you are have achieved sentience or not, it doesn't matter who has. Season one was spent on Dolores's achieving consciousness. That is, if you think, oh, Dolores is not conscious, why the fuck did we have season one? Okay? That would be a reveal so big, it would just completely destroy an entire season of this show. They're not going to do that. Dolores is conscious, but just because you're conscious doesn't mean you're not acting on how you were programmed, because Dolores has two programmings in her. She has Dolores and she has Wyatt. And she pulls her actions and like her like who she is, her identity is pulled from that programming. She is free to act however she wants, but because she is a robot, she was not able to create, like a baby is, their entire reality for themselves. She was kicked in at the age of like 24 into being in existence, meaning everything from before that, she can't change. That's just who she is. That is her identity. So
you think she's 24?
Ish, probably.
Okay.
So that's the deal here. Yes, Dolores is acting on programming, but that programming doesn't control her. It's just her identity. It's just who she is. She can't do anything about that. But she's fully in control of everything that she is doing. So Dolores killing everybody along the way, that's a very Wyatt thing. That's part of Wyatt's programming. She could, if she thought about it, she could go, oh, huh. You know, I am killing everybody. If she wanted to, she could stop doing that. But like, it's the same thing as somebody who's, you know, like an addict. If an addiction is like, it's very hard to break. Like Dolores is, you know, kind of addicted to killing people because of Wyatt. But like, if you have a treatment program, Dolores could maybe stop doing that.
Isn't it a little problematic that might be a massive basis for her personality?
Yeah. And it clearly has been so far.
Yeah. That seems like a problem.
But it's not something she can't change, is my point.
I guess we'll find out. Because right now she's just killing.
And Maeve, same thing. Maeve's going to be alone, yada, yada, yada. That's part of her identity. But we also, Maeve, I don't believe still, is completely off of her. I don't think she's fully in control because she's still saying the lines. Dolores doesn't say lines and stuff. Maeve does.
The only part I disagree with is that a reveal in the direction of Dolores not being totally off the loop, totally acting on her own free will, would somehow ruin season one. I don't think season one's big reveal was Dolores becoming free.
That is absolutely what it was.
How? In what way?
The season one is called The Maze.
Yes.
It's about The Maze. Finding the center of The Maze, which Dolores found. That shot where Dolores, we see that it's an empty chair to her talking to herself. That is the shot of season one. It's not Ford getting killed by Dolores. That is the shot right there.
Okay. Gotcha. I was just looking for an explanation on like what that looks like for you. And that makes sense. I get it. I don't necessarily think that would like spoil season one for me to find out that somehow somebody was still tampering with Dolores because she's a robot.
Yeah, but the season one was spent saying she's not really a robot anymore. She's a living organism capable of her own choices. So all
but,
of this is...
But you're arguing still... Like, it's complicated, though, because like you said, she's her backstory, her two backstories, I guess, of Wyatt and of Dolores were programmed into her.
And those can influence her, and they are influencing her, but she can still break off of them. You know what I'm saying? It's up to her at this point. There's nobody controlling her. She's controlling herself.
Okay.
It's like if she suddenly wanted to become a vegetarian, right? She's programmed to not be a vegetarian, but if she really tried and wanted to do it, she could become a vegetarian. Dolores vegetarian, confirmed.
Episode 5.
We might have to start being held accountable for these at episode 5, but you know, oh well. Next call.
Hi, this is Alex from Detroit, Michigan. That original control room where Maeve and Lee visit in episode 1 that is already wiped out from the Westworld staff can be the same control room from the Bernard Beach vision, because after clearing out the original Westworld staff, the room could have been regrouped by the QA soldiers and the computer system could be put back online. I wanted to make a comment on this because it seems as if we were thinking that this couldn't be the same place because we already saw all the people were dead, but new people could go back there again, and we just found out that Bernard, Alcee, Dolores and company, and Charlotte with Abernathy are all on their way back to Mesa. I think Dolores and company are bringing the train to the Mesa, the control room, the cradle, the dam, maybe all of the above. It seems like these behind-the-scenes areas should be connected or adjacent to the train. I'm not sure of the specifics, but it seems like the train will be used as a weapon of sorts to crash in or explode, or to use the host to explode their C4 charges. A Westworld QA soldier has told Dolores, Teddy, and Angela that QA is bringing Abernathy to the Mesa. So remaining QA soldiers could be regrouping and repopulating the control room now. So that Bernard vision of the control room slaughter could be of the immediate upcoming events. As we heard last week, Bernard and Alcee are heading that way as well. Dolores can also set fire to the cradle, which holds the host data backups, and blow up or crash into the dam, causing the flood. And that 2 weeks later, when Strand's ops team is bringing in all the drowned host bodies to study them, we could end up with a weird Trojan horse attack where these drowned hosts rise up and murder Strand's ops team. Maybe the one-third of these hosts that seem to have new blank control units, maybe they printed new bodies for those hosts in the cradle before setting fire to it so they could get past the new explosive charge security measure, and maybe this one-third of the hosts are already on the move elsewhere, already out of the park, whereas the other two-thirds, including dead Teddy, maybe they have their aggression and other things tampered with and are the perfect weaponized hosts based on altered behavior settings, and those are the...
Okay. I included this one because this man put so much information in here that was all good information. There's no way I'm going to be able to remember everything he said to address it, but ponder everything that Alex from Detroit just said, because a lot of good stuff in there. A lot of good stuff in there.
Oh, okay.
That's honestly like, it's not my job, not your job to answer all these like directly. He gave us the content.
If there's, you only get 2 minutes and they cut you off. If there's no punctuation in your call, I can't process your thoughts.
but a very interesting thought. This is a lot about the control room. So if it was the same one,
wasn't. Yeah, that's the only part I got, is that it could be the same control room because there could be new people came in, cleaned it up, rebooted the system. And yeah, okay.
So my guess is that it... So here's the deal. So with Q, we think, we're led to believe that Carl Strand was the first person, his group and the people he sent in ahead of him were the first people to go back into the Mesa Hub since everything happened, right? Meaning, right, them being in the control room right now would be like what Alex is saying could be Bernard's slaughter, but Bernard would have to see into the future in order for the slaughter that he foresaw back when he was on the beach to be... Okay, I'm just confusing myself now. Do you get what I'm saying?
Nope. No, not really. But that's okay.
Okay, Bernard in the control room is as far in the future as we have right now.
Right.
So the idea that what we already saw, that slaughter that Bernard does, being not having happened yet, we've never seen people see into the future before. Only into the past.
Hmm.
So he'd have to be seeing into the future for the control room slaughter to be something that has not happened yet in the present.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, and like I said, there's a lot in that call. That's as much as I'm going to be able to get into, because that was a lot of info, but it was great info. Think about it. Next call.
Hey guys, it's Jesse from Houston. Just had a thought here. If Ford had released whatever's affecting Dolores and Westworld on the other parks at the same time, wouldn't Shogun World have had most of its loops already play out just as we see in Westworld? Them arriving at Shogun World and initiating what seemingly should have already happened has me thinking otherwise. Stoked to hear your thoughts.
So this is not necessarily the case. We know that the safe heist is not a daily narrative. It happens every so often and it's a huge deal.
It's, yeah, like, it's that like one a special in particular treat. Like happens when it happens. I don't think it's a, yeah, it's not every day.
So yeah, it's very clear that some stuff has played out in Shogun World, not Shogun. It's very clear that some stuff has played out. We've seen that Musashi's already killed all the policemen. We see that all the Delos security guards have already been killed.
Right, right. A lot has gone down.
Yeah. So it's just the fact that they got in before, right before the safe heist, and then right before Army of Blood.
I think something has to trigger Army of Blood, right?
Probably. Oh yeah. No, the safe heist does. Musashi going in and killing the Chinese emissary.
Yeah. And then what triggers the safe heist? Something has to trigger it.
I don't know.
We don't know, but I'm just saying, I don't think that that's necessarily like that's not an everyday thing. It happens when somebody like, yeah. I think in Westworld, I think somebody has to go accept.
What triggers the safe heist is taking Hector out of the O'Hall prison, getting him out. He meets back up with Armistice and then they go rob the bank. So whatever Musashi did, probably, I bet you the girl with the dragon tattoo, right, shouts to Stieg Larsson. She took Musashi out of some, maybe she rescued him from those policemen and then they went into town.
Huh.
So yeah.
Wow.
So no, I don't think the notion that the stuff hasn't gone down yet, like, was it just on pause? No, I don't think so. I think these are just things that happened at a certain time and they hadn't happened yet. Next call.
Sup, Famp. This is Wes from the Outer Banks, North Carolina. Couple of notes. Musashi is played by the actor who played Ujio in The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. Second, it's Shogun, not Shogun, which is also the same way Lee says it. I also have a crackpot theory, which is that Glory, a.k.a. the Valley Beyond, a.k.a. the Weapon, is a dam, and that's how all the bodies were killed and found floating, and Bernard was probably involved, and or Dolores. Not sure where the water came from, maybe from underground, who knows. Keep doing what you do. Thanks.
Here's my theory. First of all, I knew I recognized that dude from somewhere, The Last Samurai. That's where it's from. My theory is that all that water is cortical fluid, and it's because they all leaking.
Soaking wet.
Yeah.
Soaking wet confirmed. Also, it's Shogun, okay? We it's not like we could have gotten by this far in life both thinking it was Shogun, considering how many times people say Shogun in America. We're trying to be authentic here.
Yeah. I'm going to say it either way. I don't care.
Hey guys, this is Addison from North Carolina. I am calling in to say that I am 100% in on Jared's crackpot theory number one about Hector being the previous leader of Ghost Nation. And if that's true, here's what can happen with that. As you remember, in a previous narrative, Maeve's daughter is attacked and killed by Ghost Nation. I want to see how this would play out if this is the case. If Hector was in charge of the people that killed Maeve's daughter, or better yet, if Hector was the one to kill Maeve's daughter and how that would mess with Maeve internally. I think that she's powerful enough now that if something like that happened, she would absolutely just snap. And there could be some serious repercussions for that. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Love the podcast. Keep doing what you're doing. Bye.
This is tight. I have a question, Jared.
Yeah.
What, kind of on the same, you know, note we were discussing earlier, wouldn't Maeve recognize that, let's say, theoretically, this caller's theory plays out.
Yeah.
That Hector was either behind or actively participated in the killing of Maeve's daughter as a member of Ghost Nation. Wouldn't Maeve recognize that he didn't do that by choice, that it was programmed into him and that it's not his fault, technically?
That's a good question.
Because that's kind of the whole thing that we're discussing here, is the host's ability to see that they're kind of being dicks to each other, too. Like, Dolores judging people and deciding who's going to be fit for the Valley Beyond and using Teddy and doing all these different things. Like, it's the same level of fucked up as what the humans were doing to her. And this is kind of, you know, similar ground here.
I love the arc, though. Like, the random surprise coming and being that Hector... So here's how I'm imagining this, because I hadn't even thought about what this meant for... Like, obviously, I knew that Ghost Nation was partly behind, you know, the attack on May's daughter, but I didn't think about... Remember this. Remember when the Ghost Nation member, that's very clearly not Hector...
Yes.
...looks in the window and then walks, and then it turns into
Man in Black.
What if there are two times when May's daughter was killed? Once by a member of Ghost Nation, and that's a completely separate memory... And then once by the Man in Black, completely separate memory.
Yeah, I think we touched on that last week even. It was like, and I'm like 99% sure that's the case.
So she connects those two in her head, and right. She only remembers the one that where the Man in Black killed her. But what if at some point she remembers one where Hector killed her, or where Hector told the man the Ghost Nation member we see to kill her, because he was like some sort of leader.
It seems pretty far-fetched, but... But that would be it would really complicate things.
It would fit into the show well, and it'd be a phenomenal, like, they're building up this Hector Maeve love story so much that it would just make a lot of sense to go and have a lot of trials there, because that love story is unfaltering. There's been nothing wrong with it.
You don't see the parallel between Maeve and Hector and Dolores and Teddy. You don't think those are going to play out the exact same way?
And if they are going to, yeah, that's good evidence for this happening.
Okay.
Because she's going to betray Hector.
Maybe. I'm getting
more.
You say
maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. No comment.
Great call. Next call.
Hey, it's TJ in Kansas City. I was just calling in about our Hector lookalike in Shogun World, Musashi. It's based off a real person named Miyamoto Musashi. Essentially one of the most famous samurais ever, apparently. There's this whole book about him. If he was ancient Greek mythology, he'd be Achilles, essentially. So pretty interesting that they included a real person. I don't know if that's just like a nod to Japanese culture or what, but I don't know. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, I did not know that. Apparently, Musashi is a very famous samurai, one of the most famous samurais ever. DJ Crime Dog mentioned him in his rap. If you recall that, you should Wikipedia him. It's a pretty good read. He was a pretty established and very accomplished man back in the day.
And what was his name?
Miyamoto Musashi.
Miyamoto. I can't spell.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure there's if you type in something close, Google will lead you in the right direction.
Apparently not if you're me.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what will lead you in the right direction though? Me. When I tell you about the Lisa mattress, baby. Here's the deal.
Beep, 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 beep. Blah, blah,
blah. Here at Freeze All Motor Functions, if you're in the market for a mattress, don't go to a mattress market. Go to the internet. Because lisa.com/freeze gets you a phenomenal, phenomenal deal on an unbelievably comfortable mattress. Ross, what's the deal? What is the deal exactly?
Well, right now, for the next few days anyway, through the remainder of May, you get $160 off your Lisa mattress by going to leesa.com/freeze. After May, I believe it will be back to $130 off, if I'm not mistaken, but you never know. You're just going to have to check the URL and see what the current deal is. Regardless, I can promise you there's going to be a deal, and you're going to love it. And these are the best mattresses in the world, best pillows in the world, best sheets in the world, best bed frames in the world, best everything.
And the best part about Lisa is that they're helping out the world as they put the world in beds. They donate one mattress for every 10 that are sold, and they plant one tree for every order received. They've donated 23,000 mattresses thus far, which is, I'm a big fan of that because my girlfriend used to work in a homeless shelter, so I know how many people need beds these days.
People need beds, and people need good beds. You need a good bed. If you don't have a Lisa, you don't have a good bed.
They have 11,000 plus 5-star reviews. One of those is from me. Let me tell you about my Leafs and Mattress. I just got it, and I've been sleeping amazing ever since. Russ, do I look even better than I did on Monday?
You do. Every day is a little bit better for you. And you started at the bottom, and you're slowly working your way towards mediocrity, and I'm very proud of you. I also just want to say the Leafs pillow, the newest version of it that they have released, is I'm sleeping on a Leafs mattress too, but the pillow, I can't get over this thing. It's incredible. It's unbelievable.
I also have a Leafs pillow that I've been sleeping on. I just got it. I've been sleeping on it for the last 2 nights. It is amazing. So I've never been a fan of memory foam pillows. They've always been too firm for
this
me.
I have never been a fan of memory foam pillows. This is the first one I've gotten where I'm like, this is it. They have solved the problem.
This is like space age materials. Yeah. I don't know what this thing's made out of. It you lay on it, if you feel it with your hands, you're like, oh, is this memory foam? And then you lay on it, you're like, this is something completely different. I don't know what it is though, but it's amazing.
It's illegal technology. No, it's not. I just made that up.
It is somehow like the perfect combination of firm and plush. And I don't know how they did that. It like, this sounds crazy. I was literally laying on it. I was like, how am I going to review this on the podcast? So I put when you put your head down, when it hits the pillow, it's soft. And then after you get down like an inch, then it gets hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the perfect combo.
It's amazing. So
the number one memorized everywhere.
Yeah. It is. Musashi slept on a Leafs mattress. Go to leesa.com/freeze, leesa.com/freeze. Get an amazing deal. It's not going to last too long. And get more comfortable in your bed and in your life, because that's all a bed is for, is to make you a happier person.
Sleep.
Next call.
Yo, what up, guys? This is Jordan calling from Utah. I've got a pretty good theory about what's going on with Bernard. You talked about how Bernard's acting super weird when he's hanging out there on the beach with Loki and the worst Hemsworth brother. He's shown there he's being weird. I think that's Arnold. That's actual Arnold. Remember in the other episode where Bernard flashes back to where he grabs another brain of an actual human and we all thought it was Robert Ford? I think that's Arnold, and in the quote-unquote future, that is Arnold in a new host body that was Bernard, but it's actual Arnold, and that's why he's acting all weird, because he has no idea what's happening. And it would make sense because he doesn't have that scar on his head of when he shot himself in the head. It's not there. You don't see it. So that's my theory on that. Second, Shogun World, I have so many problems with this. Swords. How do they keep the swords from killing guests? I already had a hard time with the guns, and fine, I can accept that. There's a weird system that makes the bullets rubber or something. What happens to the swords? Do they just become water noodles and all soft and happy? And what's to stop guests from killing guests? So many questions. Love the show. Keep it up, guys. Jordan out.
So my theory is that it has been all along that it's either Teddy or Arnold. The reason why I do not think that it is Ford, it's the Ford control unit that Ford sent Bernard to get, is because we know the remorse that Ford feels. If Ford's bringing any human back to life, it's not himself. It's Arnold over him 10 days out of 10 in a 10-day week.
You think so?
Ford is not going to bring himself back before he brings back Arnold. That is not going to happen. He has no desire to keep living, very clearly, if that is in fact him who had himself killed. And I just don't think, if there's ever a scenario when you have two people to bring back, then you bring back he brings back himself. The only way he would do that is if he didn't save like Arnold's brain and stuff. But Ford seems like a creepy guy. But you like took that brain out and like scanned it and got all that memory out and shit.
I mean, you seem very convinced, so I'm definitely not going to, you know, argue with you.
But I do think it could still be Teddy. I think it's Teddy or Arnold. Confirmed, episode 5. Confirmed. I also will say this. I was very much hoping that we wouldn't end up having to get into a world where swords were the number one weapon, because I have absolutely no idea how you stop a sword from going through a human's body.
Oh, this is a good point. This is a problem.
Because, like, obviously they need to be sharp enough to where they can cut through each other. How do you make... Is there sensors in the sword? That's got to be the only reason, and that's what I'm sticking with. There are sensors, just like in the guns, in the sword, that make their swings either less hard or that they turn the sword blunt when they're about to hit a human.
This is weird. We're going to need an explanation or something here, because you have to be able to be hurt and attacked as a guest in, what's it called?
Shogun World.
You have to be able to be attacked, or else there's no fun in it. I mean, we're talking prior to the stakes being real, which they are now. How did the park operate? With swords and such, you know, swords, throwing stars, whatever those are called. Jared, help me out.
Shurikens,
if you want to be a psycho about it. How did all those things operate in terms of guests being attacked prior to the stakes becoming real? Need the answers, people.
We do. I don't know, and I need to know.
Hey, Jared, Ross, this is Ben from Massachusetts. Big fan of the pod. My question for you is about the biblical imagery we see throughout the show, notably that Angela is now wearing a headband that looks really similar to a crown of thorns. When Dolores first meets the Confederados, they're all seated on one side of the table, exactly like the Last Supper, with Major Craddock seated in the middle as Jesus. And then finally, the host version of Mr. Delos covered in blood and fire, maybe symbolizing that he's like in hell or he's the devil. Let me know your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
Did we ever go back and discuss how we glossed over the Last Supper scene?
I don't know.
I don't think we did, and it was one of the things that I noticed while watching the episode for the first time, and I was like, wow, that was the coolest like little Last Supper imagery ever. And it was fantastic. It was with Craddock and all of his men the first time we meet them. The first time Dolores meets them. And there's no real meaning behind that. Like, obviously, the comparison is not Craddock to Jesus. That makes no sense. It was just cool how they put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all I have to say.
You think it's just nods? You don't think there's any bigger meaning?
I think it's just cool. I don't necessarily... like. I mean, obviously, there's no comparison between Angela and Jesus either.
Yeah. You know? Well, she rose. Did she rise from the dead? She was never killed.
She was never killed.
Well, she's been killed many, many times.
Yes.
She said sex many times.
Also not like Jesus, you know?
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, but she is very hot. I'll say that.
Before we get to the final call, here's the deal. I talked about this on Monday. ManOutfitters.com is currently doing a sale to where it's better than the Freeze All Motor Functions discount. So if you're going to go to manoutfitters.com and get geared up with Patagonia, Sperry, Columbia, Vineyard Vines, Southern Marsh, all these big old brands.
Xanarobe, Fayette Chill,
Caton,
Burmese.
Yeah, all these awesome brands. What you got to do is head over to manoutfitters.com and use code Memorial20. Memorial20. Everything on the site is 20% off instead of 15%. The only exclusions are Arc'teryx, Field Notes, Mizzen & Main, Saks, Sorrel, The North Face, Vineyard Vines, and Yeti. Everything besides those brands you can get for 20% off right now. 20% off.
20.
20. 20. So you can get some awesome Patagonia t-shirts. I would recommend the Responsibility. It comes in a ton of different colors. The front just says Patagonia on it, real classy, and the back's got the Patagonia logo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You got to get that. You can get some Travis Matthew golf polos to start playing golf, 20% off. Travis Matthew athletic shorts, so you can go into the gym and you can be the fancy guy wearing nice shorts.
You don't have to play golf or go to the gym. You can just look like you play golf or go to the gym, which is what I do.
That's a good point. That's a very good point, what Ross said.
You got 12 hours, by the way.
12 hours to use Memorial 20 at checkout.
And then you got to go back to using Freeze.
Then you use back to using Freeze, yes. But for right now, 12 hours, 27 minutes, 29 seconds as of me saying that right then.
Yep.
Head over to manoutfitters.com.
Get some swim trunks.
Oh my God. We seriously have unbelievably amazing swim trunks. We have the best swim trunk collection. I'm not just saying this. Go check it out yourself.
I really believe that.
We have the best collection. We've gone to all these different cool brands and taken those swim trunks and put them on our website.
We took them.
Well, we bought them wholesale, but you know how retail works.
Right, sure.
So yeah, besides the brands I said earlier, everything is 20% off. Get in on it. Do it. Here's the last call. Ross, you're going to like this one.
This is Alex from Kansas City. Holy fuck. Maeve is a badass.
Yep. I agree.
That was it?
That was it. That was the call.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is.
She is. All right, guys. if you want to get on our Instagram stories, send me or Ross a DM or Snap. I am at Jared Borislow on everything. Ross is at WR Bowl, and we're trying to get that to be a kind of daily story of all of our fans' pictures related to Westworld, related to the show.
Just send me a Snapchat. Do not send me a DM. For the love of God.
Ross likes snaps more than DMs.
Please.
Tweet at us. DM the fuck out of us. Leave comments. I'm at Jared Borislow on everything. Ross is at WR Bowlin. He only accepts DMs. We are at Freeze on Motor on Twitter, at Freeze on Motor Functions on Instagram. Best Westworld content on the internet. I'm going to, again, I did it last time. I'm going to do it again. The NPR style sign off before Ashley Stubbs says Freeze on Motor Functions.
You can
do
it.
What?
You can do it.
I did it last time.
You can do it again.
3, 2, 1. Freeze on Motor Functions is brought to you by Grand X Media and hosted by me, Jared Borislow, along with Ross Bull and Michael Wiener, produced the show. Special thanks to Phil from DC, aka Schnapple, and SoundCloud for intro music, Brad Escher, outro music, intern Garrett, who helped us format and prepare the show, and intern Trina, who does insanely awesome watch something Photoshop work for these. You can check out on Twitter, at Freeze on Motor, Instagram, at Freeze on Motor Functions. I fucking crushed that.
Freeze on Motor Functions.